Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. We're excited we're here, and we're excited that we're here to wrap up and reflect on this week's topic of good versus godly. What does your character look like? So without further ado, let's go ahead and hand the call over to our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. All right. Good evening, Mr. Carr.
Good evening. Mr. DJ, if you're there, let's go ahead and start with the call. Go ahead and open us up with a prayer, please.
Everyone, close your eyes, bow your heads, open up your hearts. Heavenly Father, we come to you again on bended knee, coming to say thank you, Father. Thank you for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you are preparing us to receive for you to do. Thank you for blessing us, looking after us, and keeping us on your path. Father, help to just strengthen us and open up our hearts, our minds, to be receptive to your word and for us to get together on one accord, and that one purpose is just to worship you. We ask these things in your name, Father. Amen.
Amen, amen. All right, so Mr. DJ, it's been an awesome week. Let's go ahead and get right to it, okay? Y'all, tonight is our open sessions. We encourage you to hit star 5 if you have any questions for Mr. DJ or myself, and we're going to get those answered. And as always, with the calls, the way that we do it now, we have a person in the hot seat. That hot seat is someone who's going to kind of challenge Mr. DJ's thought process, okay? So this is a night where you can actually expand your mind, our mind, everybody's mind. You know, not any other time, because the Word of God is uncompromising. But tonight what we like to do is we like to just usher in a difference of a viewpoint, okay? A different viewpoint, you know, like your Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But tonight is you can share your viewpoint and kind of challenge Mr. DJ's way of thinking. He always ready for that. So we can have a hot seat, you know, and someone who wants to jump in that hot seat to kind of challenge. But before we do that, DJ, kind of sum up this past week.
This past week, we're in discussing good versus godly. One of the things that I would just like to really summarize the whole week up with is good are things that you do. And you may have to go back and tell someone. You may have to explain them. And that's fine. That is fine. That's good. When you talk about being godly, those are things that it needs no explanation. You really can't explain it because it's godly. When things are done, when blessings are brought down, when deeds are bestowed upon us, again, with good deeds, there's going to be some fine right. That right may say good for 30 days or mm-hmm. good for this amount of time or that amount of time. It's going to come with some kind of fine print, fine writing. When they're godly, there is no fine writing. You don't know what the expiration date is because it may not even ever expire. You can't explain it. You just say simply, thank you, Lord. And that's what I have summed up for being godly. We should strive to be godly rather than just good. Because good, like I said, the fine print, we can change it. We can put this clause, we make it fit good. And good is most of the time is the perception of the person who's receiving it or who was bestowed upon. You know, I'm allergic to seafood, and probably especially all my Louisiana people are just choking right now. Oh my God. He don't know what he's missing. Yes, I do. A trip to the ER. But that food may be good to you guys. You know,
right.
You love that's fine. But you know, I'm just saying that good is the perception of that person or the individuals upon which you have things bestowed on. Godly, it's universal.
Right.
Godly, it needs no introduction, no explanation, no ingredients. You know, when you have something good, you know, again, you can explain it. It has parameters. It has a fine print. You know, it's good. But when it's godly, no added preservatives, no, you don't even need no ingredients because it's directly from God.
Exactly. And that's a good summary. And one of the things that we did talk about on Wednesday, Mr. DJ, I don't know if you remember. Well, I know you remember. But we talked about David, King David. You know, King David was a great man. He was a man after God's own heart. But to the natural eye, Mr. DJ, he wasn't so good.
That's right.
And this is the point where I think a lot of times we scratch our head. Because, you know, then we're baffled. We're astonished with the things of God. Because it's like, hold on, how could a man so corrupt, as we would say it, be a man after God's own heart? I mean, he slept with Bathsheba. She was married. He even plotted and had her husband set up. He put him on the front line. And you know the front line in war, you know the front line people are always the ones who get killed. Always. You know, so he had her husband set up. You know, he had children with this woman. King David did some bad things. So in our eyesight, he wasn't a good man. How is it that God could come to the conclusion that he was a man after his own heart? And on Wednesday, we talked about that a little bit. We talked about that because by nature, David was a man who repented and got himself back together with God.
That's right.
Godly man, because if he was godly and God called him a man after my own heart, you know that is meaning he has my characteristics. See, God has what we call short-term memory, but long-term for those who have long-term. Let me explain that real quickly. In other words, you know, the Bible says if you forgive DJ, if DJ forgives them, God will forgive DJ. See, long-term is when you don't forgive, God won't forgive. Short-term is when you forget about it, he'll forget about it. He'll let it go. You know how people say forgive but don't forget? Well, guess
right.
what? Same thing will apply when it comes to godly justice. I'm talking about judgment day. Because what you don't forget, God won't forget with you. He clearly says, judge and you will be judged. Forgive and you will be forgiven. This is the hardest part. But see, when it came to David, David had short-term memory. In other words, he knew that he was flawed, but he got back right real quick. He didn't beat himself up, and he repented, meaning he turned away from his wrongdoing. We think that repent means, this is our good definition, not godly, but our definition, because we skew God's definition. We think that repent means, God forgive me, and keep moving, and then we go back and do the same thing.
Mm.
Well, actually, repent. In a military form, in the military definitions, to repent means to totally turn around and go in the opposite direction.
That's right.
So when we say repent, the good definition would be say, well, God forgive me, he know my heart, and you're still doing yet the same old thing. The godly definition of repent, this is why he called David a man after his own heart. You got to understand, man judges the outward. God judges the inward. We judge David by his outward. We judge people by their outward. We say when somebody shows you who they are, believe them by their outward. But God says, shoot, who can tell me what to believe? I know their innermost thoughts.
That's right.
Uh-oh. See, this is where good and godly come in. See, that was good information that somebody told you when somebody show you who they are believing. Well, if that be the case, you're going straight to hell because you've showed God who you are. Mr. Carr, you ain't have to go there. Why not?
I love.
Why not? Mr. DJ, it's easy for us to throw a stone at somebody else other than ourselves.
My Lord.
Y'all hear me? See, we don't want to, Mr. DJ, we like the stuff that rhyme. We like the stuff that sound good to our ears. We don't like the Word of God because the Word of God is plain Jane. It restricts us. It shackles us. It binds us down. It's not fun. This is why a lot of times we go to church to hear good music. We don't go to hear godly music because godly music may be meditation, saying nothing.
Mm.
So if the choir good, we good. But how can the Word of God be so in us and to be godly, yet we go out the same way we came in?
Amen.
I think that's a slap in God's face. Because I challenge anybody, if you take Pepto-Bismol, Robitussin, or whatever, and it doesn't work after you swallow it, and that thing says it should work in 2 to 3 hours, you need to take that product back and say it's defective. So if it's a godly answer that you go to church and you get and you seek, why doesn't it change us? You know why? You can go for the godly, we go for the good. That was, yeah, boy, Mr. DJ. Mr. DJ, that was a good message today. Every word of God is good. Didn't I tell y'all on Wednesday and Sunday? The only reason, see, good is based on perception. Based on the individual's perspective. Because DJ can say, sawfish is not good, and I say it is. See?
That's right.
Perspective. Okay? That's totally subjective. But the one who says that God isn't good, that's, again, perspective. But those who are in God know he's godly. So it's way more than being good because, see, you won't say God is good all the time because sometimes he doesn't do what we think is good. In other words, when he takes away from us, we don't think that's good.
Yeah.
The only set of time we say ain't God good is when we just got something that we wanted.
All right.
Come on, man. Y'all know this too, right? This is very true. Now, Mr. DJ, that was on Wednesday, talking about King David. But can I introduce you to this one, Mr. DJ? You remember that man named, what's his name, Moses?
You reading my thoughts over here.
Everybody and his mama would have said Moses is the first one who should have entered the promised land. Come on, y'all. Am I not lying? Because we said Moses was a good man. He stood up to Pharaoh. Woo-wee. He stood up to Pharaoh. That's like standing up to the president. And he said, God said, let his people go. That's a good man. He led them people out of Egypt, Israelites. He let them out.
That's right.
Slaves. So y'all think slavery is new, huh? This is why I say, don't worry about it. God got the oppressed. But see, he led them out of the wilderness. They was messed up and jacked up. They got mad at him. He said, this army is behind us. These people come to kill us, and you let us out here? It had a Red Sea in front of them. Moses. See, they didn't think Moses was good at the time.
Mm. Brought us out here to die.
Yeah, he said he had to tell them, Mr. DJ, this is a godly thing. You don't see it yet. See, they thought it was not a good thing. He said it's a godly thing. It goes beyond good.
That's right.
He said, peace be still. Uh-huh. Peace be still. And what happened was, by Moses' account, these people were saved because Moses was obedient.
That's right.
It wasn't the power that Moses had. It was the power that he let go through him. Because if Moses lacked faith, everybody would have died out there.
Oh, yes.
It wasn't the staff that did it. It was Moses' obedience that did it. It wasn't that stick.
Yes, sir.
I need y'all to understand, it wasn't a stick. Come on, man. Y'all got to hear this now. Good versus godly. My whole point in bringing Moses to the forefront of this conversation right now is simply because, like we talked about on Sunday, what happens is our viewpoints start to skew, Mr. DJ. And we start to look at the things that Moses did, and we would say he was a good man. Now, we would say he's the first one who should enter into the promised land, but Moses did something with the Ten Commandments that God didn't appreciate.
Exactly.
He struck the rock. Well, they did a whole bunch of stuff, Mr. Carr, yeah, but take that over God, to whom much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me good?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God told Moses he couldn't enter into the promised land. We would have let Moses be the first one because we would have said he was a good man, but God said he didn't do a godly thing.
Mm-hmm.
Good versus godly. See, I know that confuses a lot of us because we'd be like, shoot, am I in right standing or are you doing a godly thing? Now, that didn't mean that Moses didn't go to heaven. That just meant that he on earth, he was prohibited from going beyond what God said he can do.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
He had the favor on him from birth. Just look at
from
how
birth.
He was even brought up before even dealing with the people. I mean, you know, the Pharaoh ordered all male kids to be put in the river, to be slaughtered.
Come on.
And a woman had him, birthed him, didn't even give him a name. Just kept him hidden for 3 months.
Uh-huh.
And then finally put him in a river, but then watch God. When she put him in a river, there was a woman there, Pharaoh's daughter, bathing herself, and saw this basket of this boy. And she knew this baby was a newborn, had been on milk. She said, I need to go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this baby. And guess who she went directly to? Moses' mama. Now, that's God right there. That's God. She came and said, hey, will you take care of this? Will you take care of this child and nurse him and bring him up? As a matter of fact, I will pay you. Oh, my goodness. That's godly right there. That ain't nobody.
Y'all see that? And see, this is what I don't think of us understand all the time. You know, we talk about oppressed. You think Moses' mama wasn't oppressed?
Mm.
You think Moses wasn't meant to be oppressed, but God switched that thing up? See, she acted as a midwife or a housewife.
There you go.
In slavery, who they had to go get to? let me back this up.
In
slavery days, who they had to go get? Let me back this up. Miss Tian, I heard something today. They said, you know, this is good versus godly now. They said, you know, why are you still living in the past? And when they're talking about you, they wasn't directly talking to me. They're talking to why are y'all still living in the past. Slavery, you wasn't alive when slavery was here.
Come on.
Ain't that something?
It is.
Right? What I'm here to say when he's talking about good versus godly, look at this contrast. Moses is such a great man, and he did a lot of godly things. He messed up in some areas, as we all do. But why did God use the slave?
Come on.
Hebrew woman, they was considered slaves, y'all. Hebrew slaves,
that's right.
That you heard
that's right.
Before. It was considered the domicile that no goods.
Hmm.
Right?
Yes.
But God used a great man that was supposed to be no good. But you don't think God is using you too?
Amen.
Amen.
Because the only reason why African Americans now can speak and articulate and read is because somebody saw fit. Black woman had to go in that house to teach their children, and they had to teach her how to read first. And she brought the education back to us.
Yes.
That woman had to go get that Hebrew mother. Y'all see the connection?
Mm-hmm.
So stop about the situation. No, we don't like it, and we're going to fight it spiritually. But my point is, we're going to do it in a godly way. And a godly way, say, that don't mean that we weak and we bow down and we just act like it don't exist. But do understand that our fight is spiritual, not flesh.
All right.
DJ, somebody want to get in this high seat with you tonight. Okay, real quick, let's start by me. Miss Tiana, give me ready. I need somebody sitting in that high seat because we got some great questions that we're going to challenge. And we're going to keep our answers to about a minute to a minute and a half. Okay? We're about to get it on. We got anybody going to challenge Mr. DJ tonight?
We sure do. She was ready. Ready.
Okay, ready. All right, caller, go ahead and introduce yourself. What's your name and just your first name and where you calling from?
Artita, and I'm in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Okay. Now you got to get Mr. DJ back for what the Falcons did to the Saints. You ready for that? You been on the call?
I have been on the call.
Okay. Uh-oh, I don't know, Mr. DJ. You may have a little nervous. She's scared.
Nah.
Come on with it.
All right, y'all. Here we go. Here we go. We're going to get ready for our first email question.
Okay.
Email. So this is the first question. I'm going to start with our guest for the night, Mr. DJ. She's sitting in that hot seat. The question says, and both of you ought to answer, but she's going to go first, Mr. DJ. It says, I've worked really hard to earn the respect of my coworkers, family, and friends. I think that God is pleased with my hard work, but recently I began to question if God is getting the glory from my life. Can you explain how I can be held in such a high esteem and still miss the mark with God?
Okay. First of all, it seems like the person is holding themselves at high esteem. I'm just first off. I don't think that depending on if you're talking about at work where you're employed at, if you're not bringing people closer to God, then what makes you actually think that you are supposed to be held that high, or that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing? Just because you're doing the work at your job does not mean that the work that you're doing is godly.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that I would have to ask, what is it that you're doing at your job that's giving God the glory?
Mm-hmm. Okay. What you got to add, Mr. DJ? What you say? What's your take on that?
Well, somewhat similar. I just want to add, if you're worried about other people, then you basically putting yourself in a position to block the blessing from God. You have to turn yourself down, which will elevate God, turn God up. I mean, if you are doing all that you need to do, don't worry what others say or think. If you're doing all that you need to do in obedience to God, then it's going to shine, and he will elevate you where you need to be. You know, you can't force other people to worship. You can only provide a word. That's it.
That's
it. I mean, there are plenty of people that go to church but miss the message. But if you're doing, if you truly are worshiping and being obedient to God, then you don't worry about that. That's not godly. When you're worried about what they're going to do or what they're saying and putting you in there, most people worship the preacher rather than the message. You know, you got to make sure that message thoroughly gets across. You concentrate on that, everything else will fall in line.
Okay.
And I think, Mr. DJ, we get so caught up in other people praising us that it keeps us from giving God all the praise.
That's right. That's right.
There you have it. I think that's a really good observation, because you got to be very careful, very, 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 very careful, y'all. Even with this question, you got to be very careful, because this is one thing that I noticed. So I'm a connoisseur of words, so let me break it down. It says, I worked really hard to earn the respect of my coworkers, family, and friends. Right there, stop. That's an error.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So you try to earn man's respect and not God. So in other words, you're going to end up doing what's good versus what's godly.
That's right.
Because remember, to earn somebody's respect, that means you got to be in line with them, and being in line with people, that'll get you out of line with God.
That's right.
Y'all know that? Because people have their agenda. I'm talking about everybody. Now, this is when you line up with people, is when they tell you to line up with God. You heard of the statement that says, follow me as I follow Christ?
That's right.
So in other words, if those people are not telling you to line up with God, then you got a problem on your hand. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, in order to follow God, you must hate your mother. You must hate your father. And let me put a disclaimer on that. That's for the mature audience, not
That's
the
right.
babies. Mature.
Right.
It takes hate literally meaning, hold on, you saying that I have to dislike them? No. Let me talk to the mature audience here. With that saying, it's saying that if you follow in God and they're still in the world, y'all going to separate. Y'all going to split. Because, see, when you are in God, you hate sin. And if they're still sinning, it don't matter who it is, you're going to have a problem with them. Not that you literally hate them, but you're going to hate the spirit that's associated.
That's right.
Make sense?
And
that's for the mature.
And, Mr. Carl, what you just said also about lining up with God, do you know how many prayers God gets for rain? How many people pray that it don't rain? You know how many times people say, okay, well, it needs to be cold, really, really cold. I'm tired of this hot weather. And then other people are saying, no. You know, I want it to be hot. I don't need the cold weather. You can't please folks. You cannot please. Well, that's why God is God all by himself. He ain't listening to us about that. He already knows what's going to be what, and there's a system of seasons and weather. And it is what it is. You got to govern yourself accordingly. Like you said, if you seek him and line things up with him, everything will fall in place.
Okay. And that's what the question says. So, and it also went on to say, I think that God is pleased with my hard work, but recently I've been into question if he's getting the glory. So for one, you don't have to think when you're living in God, you should know. Okay? Number two, okay, if you have to question whether God's getting the glory, he might not be.
Exactly.
Okay? All right. Here we go. Second email question. Y'all ready?
Ready.
Hold on. Somebody telling me, hold on. That's supposed to be between Mr. DJ and the caller. My bad. Okay, I'm going to zip my lips. Right. Here we go. Here's the second question. DJ, I'm going to start with you first and then the caller, okay? Being good, having high standards and morals is easy to teach. Prayer is shunned in school. Religion has been placed on the back burner. How? How do we raise godly children in this society?
Okay, being that I am a former teacher, 16 years, I love that question because, for one, it's something that's missing today, and it's not so much taking prayer out of schools. God is everywhere. The same God that's in school is the same one out of school, which means that prayer must start in the home. If you truly have discipline, if you truly, truly discipline, then you should be able to teach prayer in your house, around your house. Your child is not only getting a lesson. This is like church. You don't have to be in church to pray. You can pray at home. You can pray wherever your realm is, feel the need, what have you. You can praise God anywhere. But it starts with, if you truly a disciplined person, then you should have the roots. You should have those roots for you to pray at home. And that child should be able to come to school, and people should know that that's a godly child. That child's going to have what we call home training. And that's something that's very well missing. The reason why the school is out of whack is because the parents are out of whack. They ain't praying at home, Mr. Carr. That's all that is. They send the kid to church instead of bringing him to church.
I guess.
You know, you got to practice what you preach. But it begins at home with the parents.
All right. Practice what you preach. High seat, what you got, Carla?
Okay. I'm going to look at that from in a different way. Because we think that the only way to reach God is through prayer. That's not the only way, because even in the schools, if you're modeling your character after Christ, then the children will pick up on that. So they can learn by what you're actually doing. Yes, they do need that prayer at home. They need those teachings at home about Christ. But if the person who wrote the email, who sent the email in, is trying to reach children, you don't have to do that just through prayer. If we live godly, then the children will actually see that godly living, and they can pick up and model after that.
Okay. All right. So she disagreed with you, Mr. DJ. All right, now she's challenging. I like that. All right. Hey, I ain't stirring it up, but I'm just saying that's what I see.
I see it as working together. I believe
that
not just prayer alone, but you actually have to live what you're studying. So
exactly.
I don't want to disagreeing, but
that's right, Ms. Carr. We're not. There you go.
Okay, y'all trying to double team me? Well, I got not enough. Listen, don't make me throw the word around. All right, here we go. Third question, here we go. Email question. This is the third one. I have a 19-year-old daughter whom I love dearly. I don't want her to make the same mistakes I did when it comes to sex. Is putting her on birth control a good thing or a godly thing? I'm going to start with you first, caller.
Oh, that's a difficult one. Well, the first thing would be open communication. You need to actually sit down. I'm not going to tell you that if you put a child on, a female on birth control, that's not going to stop them from going out having sex. That's going to stop them from having a baby. So, you know, the open communication, not just saying don't do this, explain to them why they should not do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Now, as far as her making the same mistake, we have to understand that, you know, if she does make that mistake, then that's going to be her decision to make that mistake. We cannot choose what other people actually do. What we can do is try to explain to them and let them know why it's not a good thing.
Okay. Mr. DJ, I'm going to ask you the same question. I have a 19-year-old daughter whom I love dearly. I don't want her to make the same mistakes I did when it comes to having sex. Is putting her on birth control a good thing or a godly thing?
I really can't say whether it's good. I definitely know it's not godly. And only reason why I'm saying that is because I have a daughter, and I definitely dread that time. But at the same time, if you truly love your child, as the caller stated, you need to sit down and talk to your child, have open communication, and explain to them the parameters and the consequences of doing those things too early. Make sure you communicate. And sometimes, even if you communicate and they still have these urges and want to go out, there are several ways that you can influence. And even providing that pill is not going to stop the mindset.
Exactly.
If they want to go out there and fornicate, then they're going to fornicate, whether they're at 19 or 29. It's still wrong. I mean, the Bible says you lay down with the one that you married. Now, you can't give her a pill the rest of her life. But now, at the same time, I do know some females have pills to regulate the monthly cycle. You know, and again, that's not going to change the mindset either. You know, for medical purposes, that may be so. But I guess so. I'm going to have to change my answer to no. That's not gonna help anything. I mean, you
DJ to talk himself out of yes.
Yeah. You just don't have to. You know, sometimes you gotta talk to yourself and work it out. You know, but I think that you know, you have to sit down and just go back old fashioned and again pray and talk. I mean, you know, you have to communicate with that person.
Okay. Star 5. Anybody want to jump in on that real quickly? Star 5. I need another additional, you know, answer from somebody out there. It can be a crew member, whatever. Make it short and quick, though, for me, right quick. Star 5. Help us out right quick.
And also, Mr. Carr, the only surefire way of not having a kid is to not have sex.
Okay.
There's some people who can take a pill, and again, a situation come up, you know, you never know what's in God's plan.
There you go. We have any callers, Ms. Tia?
Yes,
okay.
We do.
Hello. My response would be that it's not godly. Giving a pill is almost like saying to me, you know, this is my opinion, so you're saying, okay, you're going to have sex, so it's almost like you're almost agreeing with them having sex. So if it was me, I wouldn't provide the pill because my answer would be you shouldn't be having sex since you're married.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. Interesting. All right. That was the only caller, Ms. Tiana?
Yeah. The plain and simple, Mr. Carr, the question was, is it godly? It's not.
Okay. I'm going to stay out of it because somebody told me I was getting in.
We have one more caller who actually wants to chime in, Mr. Carr. Let's do it. Good evening, caller.
Yes. How you doing? I would say it's godly. The first thing that you do is you talk to your child. You don't go out there and because she gets to a certain age or whatever and just say putting on birth control or whatever. I feel as though that when you put them on birth control is that they are convinced that they can go ahead on out there and do anything they want because they are on birth control. But on the other hand, like Mr. DJ say, you have to actually sit down and talk to your children. Mm-hmm. Not just the girls, but the boys too. I mean, because they all out there are having babies now and they're still children. You know, and we actually have to talk to not our black children, but our, you know, Mexican, white, Spanish, whatever. I mean, because I walk around in my neighborhood. I'm from Tampa, Florida, and I walk in my neighborhood, and I'm seeing all these young kids that are not going to school. They're sticking out their pregnant or whatever. But it starts at home.
Gotcha.
It starts at home. And you know, as a single parent, I mean, you can do what you have to do with your daughter or your son or whatever, but it's where it takes off with whatever you teach them from, you know, experience. I mean, when you teach them what you want them to know from the beginning, then when they get grown up, where they can have children or whatever, because like I said, our young teenagers are still having babies, and they're not capable of much development, you know, raising themselves.
Yeah, gotcha. Mm-hmm. So much for that. Thank you so much.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get to our next question right quick. Hope y'all enjoying this.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. So let's get to this next question. I think I have someone who physically wants to ask both of y'all a question. Now, I'm going to start with you first, Mr. DJ, and then I'm going to have the caller ask again to you, Ms. Ortega. Go ahead, caller.
Okay. Yes. Okay. My question is, I have a friend to ask for financial help, and doing it out of kindness of my heart, and I'm trying to see, is it godly? She's always asking for this. But then when I say no, she gets upset. Then she goes tell everybody, you know, she's not doing this for me or that, you know. Is it godly when you turn someone down, but you would go do it from the kindness of your heart? You was doing it from the kindness of your heart, but then she turn around and do that.
Okay. I say no. No, it shouldn't be that way. Yes, it is godly when you turn someone else down. You have to know the situation upon someone receiving help. If you keep asking me for the same thing over and over and over and over and over, and I keep giving it to you, you're never going to grow. I get off the interstate, come into my house, and there's a lady that's been out there for 13 years. You can't dig every day for 13 years. That's a job. So, no, I'm not going to give her any kind of money. In 13 years, you hadn't come up yet. Something is wrong. And it brings me back to the parable. If you give a man a fish, he will be, you know, he will eat. And he will be full for that day. But if I teach him how to fish, he won't be hungry no more.
All right, now.
Mm-hmm. That person who's asking you for financial help, it's time for me to start showing them some army brochures or, hey, they got a job fair down here. I mean, I'm just saying, you might want to look into giving them something more than just a dollar or $5 or financial blessing. It's time to get them some education and some training on whatever it is they can do to get a job, you know. I want to say this, and I don't mean to be long-winded, but I go to Kroger the other day. Kroger's a grocery store here. And these two boys tell me they just got off the bus and needed help. Ordinarily, I would say, okay, let me get these young black brothers some help. But I noticed the outfits that they had on, they didn't look like they came from no bus. I said, let me test this and see what's going on. I said, okay, I'll check this out. I'll give both of you all $5 a piece. They said they went shopping and ran out of money, but don't have no bag. I ain't seen no grocery sack, nothing. So I said, I grabbed the manager. I said, these young gentlemen have volunteered to bring in all your shopping carts for you to relieve your bag boys. And when they're done, here's two $5 bills. Give it both to them. And the manager thought it was an excellent idea. Do you know those boys did not get one single grocery cart? So that told me something right there. They weren't really looking for no money. So, no, I don't have a problem saying no.
Okay.
Okay.
Ms. Altita, you heard the question, or should she repeat it? You good?
No, I'm good. I'm going to have to agree with Mr. DJ, because I mean, you only hinder people if it's a repeated cycle. And we have to learn to actually break that cycle. Now, I'm not saying don't help your friend. I'm saying you don't have to be the one who's giving the financial blessing, because you can give something other than that. I mean, find out why you're having these problems that you need this money. And then maybe we can try to find out how a solution to fixing the problem. You know, now, as far as, let's say, if she was upset that you didn't give her enough or something, or going back talking about what you did give, then that's a problem in itself, because, I mean, that shows that you want to help people, but you don't want to be used in the process.
Exactly.
You know, so the next time that person comes to me, I would actually have to let them know, you know, I'm willing to help you, but if you don't want my help in the way that I'm trying to give it, then I'm going to have to cut you off. And I don't, you know, a lot of people have a problem with actually cutting people off, but you have to know when to cut people off, you know, because you're not doing them any good if you're hindering their growth.
That's right.
Gotcha. All righty, there you have it. So thank y'all so much. This concludes this, and I'm going to do our summary. I do want to summarize what, you know, the last question, because that was an excellent question. But I do, you know, put this on you all's mind, everybody's mind. When helping others, consider God helping you. Because I heard a lot of the no's, and, you know, it's okay with the godly, and it's okay to say no, and it is okay to say no. But make sure, even when you're helping someone, make sure it's godly. In other words, don't be just helping to do a good thing, do a godly thing. Because, see, when you offer someone something to eat, show them the God in it.
That's right.
Make him the primary source and take you out of the equation. In other words, God told me to give you this. Okay? But right. In the same token, it opens the door for further conversation. A lot of times, just like parenting, we give kids and we give whoopings, but we never explain as to why. And this is why the offense is repeated. Consider the person who needs help being you. Because I heard a lot of, you know, we stunt growth. Does God still help you? How many people still pray for financial blessings from God? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
See, now I'm about to challenge folk.
Yeah.
But we just said it's okay to cut people off. So shouldn't God cut us off? Because he would be stunting our growth if he didn't. Uh-oh.
That's right.
Now it's about to hit home now. I'm gonna let that one. What they say? Sit there right there. See how y'all see how the dynamic shift? It didn't shift real quick, huh?
Mhm.
Because in our mind, you know what the smart aleck response would be? But that's God. But we're supposed to be godly, not good. So if God goes an extra mile with us and we don't deserve it, why are we not going an extra mile with people? The thing is, when you say cut off, see, this is left in osmosis in space, because now God said his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. But if we are to be more like him, we got to come to a godly perception and say this, hold on, you know, help people to grow and love them enough to grow. But what we do is we let the money, the finances, the food, the clothing, the help do the work, and we don't get their ears. You know why we don't get their ears? Because we don't know what to tell them. In other words, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall flow. We don't have enough God in us to keep on helping them grow. Because everything won't be financial. A lot of this is about to be spiritual. But so we do things to talk about it and not be about it. Y'all hear me? Hear me good now. We do things to talk about it and not be about it. The next person that you tell no to, that's okay, but consider that person being you and God, you asking God and he tell you no. Do you have a boot in your mouth? Do you get mad? Why is God still helping you after all these years? Why? So if you expect God to still help you and you can't help people, why is he still blessing you and what are you doing with his blessing?
Yes.
Remember, the same stick you use to measure somebody else by, God is going to do what? Measure you by. See, these are the godly answers that we need because, see, the good answer would be, that's right, cut people off. But what about your behind? You got it going on to where you got enough fare where you can actually go up to heaven and make it? How much care fare would that be? You don't even have enough money for that, right? Right?
That's right.
The Bible says that the poor will always be amongst us. Right?
Yeah.
It's talking spiritually as well as naturally. In other words, yes. Yes, you can overdo it by emotionally getting tied in. She said from her heart. See, when people say that, I immediately go to God, meet people where they are. When people say I'm doing it from the bottom of my heart, that means I'm doing it from emotional. Because the Bible, see, this is why y'all listen to this. Godly versus good. Learn how to break things down. She said, I'm doing this from the bottom of my heart. That's what she said, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
But didn't the Bible, see, this is how you divide the word rightly. Didn't the Bible say do everything without complaining and murmuring? See, whether it's a complaint, it got to be flesh involved.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Y'all ain't kiss that part, did y'all?
Amen.
Uh-huh.
But they're saying to me, Miss Tiana, Mr. DJ, and Carla, look, what they're saying to me, Miss Altita? They're saying that that question was based on emotionally. I want an emotional, in other words, tell me if I'm doing good or I'm doing wrong or right. Not tell me if I'm doing godly. She threw God in it. I'm not talking about the call, but I'm saying there was a question that came from the flesh. Because if it came from God, listen, I'm going to do it until God says don't do it.
Amen.
Because if he can put up with old dirty me, old broke me, old no army brochure me, oh, I have a job but I still need more of me, surely I can put up with them.
Yes,
Lord. Because we got jobs and that still ain't good enough, huh?
Right.
Is God helping us? You see where I'm going with this? The godly response is to do it until God say otherwise. And then the same token, why are you doing it? They should be receiving God in the midst. If you're just giving somebody and they're not getting God, I ain't saying that you got to throw the Bible at them, but I can say, hey, DJ, man, let's go out and hang out at the basketball show. I'm showing him love. I'm giving him God without even saying God's name.
Amen.
It is an opportunity because now you are about to be in ministry, leadership, not behind a pulpit, but somebody looking at you because they need you. Minister, your business. Handle your business. So in other words, you got to know how to, you know, lift them up. But in the same token, the Bible says God chastises those who love. You also have to know how, see, the word of God is like a two-edged sword. You have to know how to put things in its proper perspective. That includes yourself. That means sometimes iron sharpened iron don't look good. But know at the end of the day, after we have this little, you know, come to Jesus talk, I still love you. Because I want you to have one with me, too, and you still love me. So when you got to tell me no, but I still got your back, because I can tell you no and never cut you off. I heard the word cut off. Cut people off, because if you cut them off, guess what Satan doing? Licking his chops, because they got to go somewhere else, and they going straight to him. That help somebody out?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You don't cut people off. God don't cut us off. Because if he cut us off, if there was no heaven, we all about to bust hell wide open and have a good time doing it. He don't cut us off.
Yeah.
So in other words, I can say no without cutting you off. And then I may have you next time.
Come on.
All right. What you got? You have something, Miss Tian?
No, I was just saying, come on. Agreed.
Okay. Okay, come on, let's get off this phone. Mr. DJ. She was in that high seat tonight. What she did? She was good?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Ms. Artita, I really, truly appreciate you. Did an excellent job in handling these questions, and it shows a lot of level of maturity in God. Not in my perspective, but I'm just saying in God's. That's excellent. Okay. Y'all continue on. Keep them email questions coming. We got it coming next week, and we can go ahead and pray, Ms. Artita, if you don't mind. Please go ahead and pray for us.
Bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear Lord, we thank you. Thank you for allowing us to assemble here on the phone this evening. We thank you for just waking us up and carrying us throughout this day. We ask that you will continue to strengthen us in the walk with you. We ask that you will keep us covered until we meet next time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great night. Bible study on Wednesday. And make sure y'all go to SundayMorningBreakfast.org. Check us out on Facebook. You can go to Mr. DJ. It's not DJ on Facebook. DJ, how can they find you on Facebook?
Eustace Arnold. Eustace, last name Arnold. Matter of fact,
okay, y'all can go to Miss Tiana. Miss Tiana, how can they find you on Facebook?
T-I-A-N-A, Tiana Simmons, with a Y, S-Y.
Okay. Miss Artita, you want them to find you on Facebook?
And they can. they can. It's just Artita, A-R-T-E-D-A, probably the only one on there.
All right. Y'all check us out. Check them out on Facebook and things like that. Y'all need to find me because I don't be saying nothing but about God. So y'all hear that on the phone. Okay. Y'all have a great night. Check us on Wednesday. Y'all have a great night.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.